We live in a culture that idolizes youth. In most cultures of the world, children are taught to respect their elders. Seniors are esteemed and honored. They are cared for by their children and grandchildren as they grow older in multi-generational families. They are in touch with youth and brings vitality to their lives. But in our culture, the emphasis is on the young. New technologies and new trends belong to the younger generations. Seniors are often viewed as not being able to keep up with what's going on in the world. Here we move into retirement communities rather than living with our children and grandchildren. I'm not saying that what we do here in our culture is wrong, just that it is different from other cultures. What happens as we grow older? I remember when someone first called me sir. My reaction was, "What did you call me?" When I'm called sir, I instinctively think that you must be addressing my father. I'm not that old and don't feel old at this point, but obviously I'm creeping up in age. Then at some point you notice that you can't do what you used to do, or you do it much slower, or you get tired a little quicker. You feel a few aches and pains after doing some outside work, and that never happened before. You begin to forget a few things here or there that you never would have forgotten before. For the first 20 years of my ministry, I rarely ever looked at my calendar because I never forgot an appointment. Now I realize that if I don't write down an appointment and look at my calendar daily, I will most likely miss an appointment. What was that person's name? What was I supposed to get at the store? And then you think, oh no, I'm getting Alzheimer's. The reality is that only 0.5% of seniors get Alzheimer's before the age of 60. And at some point, you begin to think about retirement more and more. Maybe you look forward to it, or maybe you dread it, but you're thinking about it a lot more. And now we face the reality of the coronavirus, COVID-19. And the evidence is that seniors are the most vulnerable to the virus. People in their 20s to 50s contract the virus, and they may not even be aware that they have the coronavirus because they don't manifest any of the usual symptoms. They are strong and healthy, and their immune systems can fight effectively the infection. For seniors, it's a little different. We'll more readily manifest the symptoms, and if our health is already compromised, then the virus can have devastating consequences. So we are much more aware of things happening in our body. And it is very easy to become concerned or fearful. And with the internet, we can Google the CDC or WebMD and read about the symptoms for COVID-19 or any other disease, and we wonder if we are coming down with something. We have so much information available to us today that it's both a blessing and a curse. Early last week, I had a cough and some congestion, and I thought, do I have the virus? I called our doctors at MGH, and they took me through a whole series of questions, and their pronouncement was that I didn't have the virus. Even now, as I write, my cold is clearing up. It is easy for all of us, whether we're young or old, to forget that throughout the scriptures that God used people who were well past our retirement age today. Moses was 80 when God called him and led Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. Abraham was an old man when Isaac was born. Jacob was not a spring chicken when he wrestled with God and came to a real understanding of who God is. Similarly, many of the prophets were long in years. God has a purpose for everyone, no matter how old they are. Scriptures talk about older men and women mentoring younger men and women. Listen to the biblical perspective on being a senior. Job 12:12 says, "Wisdom belongs to the aged, and understanding to the old." The psalmist writes, "But the godly will flourish. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green." Psalm 92:12-14. Joel talks about when the Holy Spirit would come at Pentecost, and he says that older men will dream dreams. Lewis said it this way, "You are never too old to set a new goal or dream a new dream." God wants to continue to use us no matter what our age may be. In some ways, as we grow older, we're more vulnerable to different thoughts that can breed fear in our minds and hearts. When we're in our 20s and 30s, we're feeling pretty indestructible and don't think many of the things we think about as we grow older. So I am sharing these thoughts from the perspective of someone who is 67 and soon to be 68. At Journey Church, we are an older congregation. It's appropriate that we talk about the biblical perspective and how we think about life, the coronavirus, and where we are right now. But everything we say is also appropriate to anyone who follows Jesus, regardless of age. I'm grateful to Adam Hamilton, pastor of the Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City, Missouri, for some insights into this topic of growing older and how we respond. 2 weeks ago, in our first conversation about COVID-19, we talked about the most common command in the Bible, to fear not. If we are in a relationship to God through Jesus, then God wants us to know that we are loved and valued, and that we will never be alone because God is with us no matter what we face or where we go. He promises to be our strength and hope, granting us peace. We don't have to be afraid today. Today I want to talk about another kind of fear that the Bible talks about, namely, to fear the Lord. What does that mean? For some, that phrase may have some very negative connotations. Maybe we grew up in a church that gave us a picture of God who is angry and always seeking to punish us when we do wrong, or for the slightest mistakes or infractions. With those kinds of feelings, we would never want to draw near to God. At best, we would just try to do the things that would appease him, or we would just write him off altogether in our thoughts and lives. But that is not what the Bible is talking about. Biblically, the phrase, fear the Lord, is talking about God as someone who should be awe-inspiring. God is so powerful and so pure that we cannot begin to understand and comprehend who he is. He's all-powerful, created the world, and continues to maintain it. He is absolute goodness and beautiful beyond comprehension. The defining characteristic of God is love. He loves us and the world he created unconditionally. Think about Moses when he encountered God at Mount Sinai, where he received the law, the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone. He could not look at God. He had to hide his face and turn away. The mountain was covered with clouds and smoke and thunder and lightning. And during that time, God spoke to Moses. When he came down from the mountain, his face shone so brightly after speaking with God that he had to cover it up, and the people were afraid to come near to him. We cannot begin to comprehend or imagine the greatness and the grandeur of who God is. He is holy and pure and totally good. He is loving and gracious and full of mercy. He is all-powerful. He is awe-inspiring. That is what it means to fear the Lord. Proverbs talks a lot about what it means to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, Proverbs 9:10. When we understand who God is, and we are awe-inspired by all that we know about God, we will begin to have a right perspective on life. It will bring understanding that will shape our perspective on this world and all that goes on in it, in everything that we will face. Proverbs goes on to talk about the fear of the Lord bringing life. Listen, the fear of the Lord brings true life. If you do it, you can relax without fear or danger, Proverbs 19:23. How does the fear of the Lord bring life? It gives us a bigger perspective on life. We have a bigger purpose than just working or earning money or having fun. We have a higher calling to love and serve the Creator of the universe, the Eternal One. When our purposes in life are small and only concerned with our immediate life, we miss the biggest perspective in life. God wants us to have an eternal perspective and a sense of purpose that goes far beyond our own small world in life. The fear of the Lord will inspire us to love God and love people with a passion all the days of our life. We will not have to be afraid of what life brings. The question for us today is, have we spent the time to really understand who God is? Do we really fear the Lord in the best sense of that phrase? I know through my own life, it is far too easy to lose that perspective. And when I do, then I will inevitably worry. But when I fear the Lord and my thoughts and emotions are saturated with an understanding of who God is, I can face any circumstance without fear or worry. How do we respond to our present circumstances? First, we fear the Lord. Second, we live in the present. This has to do with worry. Merriam-Webster says this about worry. To think about problems or fears, to feel or show fear and concern because you think that something bad could happen in the future. It's imagining a negative future that may or may not ever happen. It used to be, and maybe still is, that when someone was diagnosed with cancer, we immediately assumed that meant death. So if you were diagnosed with cancer, you and your family and friends automatically assumed the worst outcome, death. But that has all changed significantly with advances in modern medicine. Only 0.5% of the population is diagnosed with cancer before the age of 60. The average age when one is diagnosed is 70 years, and most people live very productive lives after a diagnosis. So we may worry when the doctor says we have cancer. Why? Because we imagine a future worst-case scenario that probably won't happen. Jesus addressed this issue of worry or imagining the worst about the future in the last part of Matthew 6. Can you all your worries add a single moment to your life? A few verses later, he adds, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. That's in Matthew 6:27-34. This past has already happened, and there is nothing we can do to change the past. Paul talks about forgetting what lies behind. Isaiah speaks words that God gave him and says about the past, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Isaiah 43:18-19. The past is history. We can't undo it. God is always willing to forgive our past. The question becomes, what will we do in the present? Worry is directed to the future. We encounter something in our lives and we begin to imagine what could happen in the future. And our mind often drifts to the worst-case scenario. We imagine the most disastrous thing that could happen, and we grow anxious and we worry. Yet in most cases, the worst does not actually happen. So Jesus tells us to stay focused on the present. Worrying about the future will not add anything positive to our lives. It will only rob our ability to live in the moment and to enjoy the life we are living right now. When the news media is bombarding us with the message that COVID-19 is most deadly to seniors and those with compromised health, we immediately begin to assume the worst, especially if we are in that category. But the best thing we can do is to live in the present. That means that we take appropriate precautions to avoid the virus. It means that those who are younger recognize that you could be carrying the virus without even knowing it, and that you may become a threat to your parents or grandparents. So you also need to exercise caution as you interact with seniors. There are really three responses that can help us deal with our worries and anxieties about the future. The first response that we talk honestly with God, to God about everything we are thinking and feeling. So again, I will quote a verse that I keep mentioning over and over, Philippians 4:6-7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Paul is telling us that God wants us to tell him all about our lives, everything that is bothering us about the future, the things that we are worrying about, and then thank him for what he has done. That implies that we look back on our lives and we remember all the ways that God has met us and walked us through the challenging times. But it also implies that we are reading scripture and understanding just how faithful God is in all circumstances through all the ages. The Bible is a record of God's faithfulness through every kind of circumstance in life. When we understand that, then we can thank him for all the ways he has shown faithfulness in our life and throughout history. That brings perspective to the present moment. When we truly absorb those truths about God's love and faithfulness and let his word permeate our lives, then we will experience a peace that transcends any circumstances we may find ourselves in now. We can live in the present knowing that God is adequate for whatever may come in the future. When we worry, our mind and body begin to race, and our fears of the future take over our thinking. Physiologically, our bodies are a marvelous creation by God. There is a simple way for us to slow down our thinking and regain the ability to slow our worry and anxiety. It is a technique known as relaxing breath. Medical news today calls it 4-7-8 breathing. I only learned that name as I did a little research this week. A few weeks back, when I had the infected big toe, the pain was incredible, especially as my primary care doctor was trying to drain the pus without any kind of pain medication. I instinctively began the Lamaze breathing that you learn when you attend pregnancy classes. It helped manage the pain. Sue Ellen will sometimes remind me that when I'm upset about something to slow down and take a few deep breaths and exhale slowly. You breathe in slowly, exhale slowly. They describe it this way. You breathe in through your nose for 4 seconds, hold your breath for 7 seconds, and then forcefully exhale through your mouth with a whoosh sound for 8 seconds. Do that 3 or 4 times, and you immediately begin to relax. Your whole body relaxes. I don't know about counting the seconds, but I do know that if you breathe that way for a few times, I do begin to relax and am able to think a little more clearly. This is not some kind of New Age thing. It's a wonderful thing that God built into our bodies that will help us to calm down so that we can begin to think and react better. Try it. And then we have one more option. Paul says in the book of 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. That means that no matter what we are doing or where we are, we can simply offer up to God a simple prayer asking God for help. It may be something like this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or fear. Or maybe it might be, God, be a very present help in the midst of this trouble, modeled after Psalm 46:1. We can offer up these kinds of prayers continually when we need to, in actual words. We speak or in thoughts in our heads wherever we are, any time of the day or night. God wants to be a very present help, in our troubles, in our lives. First, we fear the Lord. Second, we live in the present. One of the greatest benefits that our faith in Jesus brings is, third, we don't have to fear death. As a minister and as a person, I have experienced and heard about other death situations that are incredibly peaceful. This is especially true for people of genuine faith. When I pastored in Revere, there was an older gentleman who had a very deep, abiding faith. I visited with him at home about an hour before he died. He basically told me not to worry about him because he was at peace and he knew that he had an eternal home with God. At the time, I was going through some real challenges at the church, and he told me not to pay attention to what some people were saying and to keep doing what was right. In his moment of death, he was thinking about someone else. That made a very profound impression on my life. What we believe about death can profoundly change our lives and how we live right now. We are approaching the Easter season now, and we may not even hold Easter services this year. That will really be strange. But Easter is about how we view death. Jesus' death and resurrection should change our view about death. Jesus was completely innocent and only preached the truth about God the Father and about life upon this earth. He lived a life that modeled what it meant to love God and love people. And still there were people who hated him for it and put him to death in the cruelest way possible. And in his death, he paid the penalty for all our wrongdoing and selfishness. And the proof that God accepted this sacrifice for our sins is his bodily resurrection 3 days later. Jesus taught about this reality even before the cross when he was talking to Martha after her brother Lazarus had died. He said this in John 11:25-26, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus had this eternal perspective, and he wants us also to understand this perspective. Paul talks about the impact of Jesus' resurrection. Take a moment to read the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. It's a powerful chapter. But it is summarized in this one verse, in 1 Corinthians 15:54, "Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled: death is swallowed up in victory." Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee that this life is only the beginning of the best life to come when we place our faith in Jesus. We have an eternal home. One of the most comforting scriptures that are read at funerals is John 14. There Jesus tells his disciples and us today that he would be returning to heaven and that he has prepared an eternal home for everyone who places their faith in him. And he tells us not to be afraid. Billy Graham said this about death from the perspective of faith in Jesus: "When you're born, you suffer, you die. Fortunately, there's a loophole. The loophole is Jesus and his resurrection." Even if we have truly enjoyed our life, C.S. Lewis tells us, we still should not fear death. Why? "Has this world been so kind to you that you should leave it with regret? There are better things ahead than anything we leave behind." He is reflecting on what the Bible teaches, that a future with God will be far more fulfilling than anything we will experience in this life. John Piper, a well-known Christian author and preacher here in the U.S., perhaps best sums up God's desire as we think about the idea of death. "I don't so much pray that my death will be without pain, but that it will be without doubt. God desires that we will be absolutely confident in our future because of our faith in Jesus and the good news of Easter, the resurrection of Jesus." When I wrote the title for this message, "The Coronavirus and Growing Older," I thought that might scare off someone younger who hasn't really thought yet about growing older. But the truths that the Bible talks about as we look at the future or sense the imminence of our own death really are applicable to everyone. If we understand what it means to fear the Lord and realize that we can talk to God about anything and everything, no matter what is going on in our lives, and understand the eternal perspective about death that Jesus' resurrection points us to, it's going to change how we live our lives right now, even as we deal with the coronavirus in our world today, no matter what happens because of the impact of that virus. Hold on to these truths. Search the scriptures to see the truth of what we have talked about. Ask God to make these truths very real in your lives today. Let's pray. Hear this benediction from Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen."